This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Ephesians 1:3 says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this is where it's fixing to get interesting at. Receiving from God. How many of y'all say y'all done received something from God? Amen. Receiving comes with a responsibility and accountability. Amen. Once God releases something into your life, then you had to give an account for it. Once God releases a grace into your life, then that grace will come with a responsibility for you to do something with it, for you to increase it and to utilize it in the right way. Right? If God gives you a grace, a talent, an ability, then you're going to have to give an account for how you used it. So sometimes we say, oh, Lord, just give to him, give. And thunk, you ain't got no responsibility and you ain't going to answer for it. You're going to answer for it. Amen. I'm going to give an answer for this church. I will as a pastor. I will answer. You ain't going to answer. You get mad at me, you go out the door and just leave. I'm not here like that. I don't like pastoring y'all no more. I'm going to find another flock. Y'all done made me mad. Get your own pastor. Now, see, I can't do that. You as a member, I don't like what the pastor doing. I just ain't going there no more. You just so flippant. Just. I ain't got to go that. I don't like it. Take my little stuff, get all my marbles, and go. You see, when God entrusts things to you, I've been entrusted with this. I'm going to answer for it. If you've been assigned here, your job is to be faithful while you're here and to do what God tells you to do. Your job ain't to tell me what to do. Receiving from God comes with responsibility and accountability. Whenever a person receives something from God, he automatically becomes a steward of it. He will one day give account to God for how he has utilized and increased what was given. Receiving from God makes you a steward. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a steward. You know, I'm telling you the truth because you already said you received something from God. That made you a steward. How many of y'all got God's grace working in your life? Then you're a steward of that grace. You're supposed to use that grace that's in your life to be a blessing to other people and to promote the kingdom with it and to see that God is glorified through what he's given to you. You ain't supposed to take what God give and then turn your back on him and go use it the way you want to use it. I know when we're talking about the blessing flowing, you know, it's a lot of jumping and everybody get excited about it. But you know what? There ain't no blessing flow without faithfulness. Let's don't kid ourselves. Receiving from God makes you a steward, but there are good stewards and there are bad stewards. Are you a good steward or a bad steward of the things that God has entrusted to you? Are you good? Are you a good steward? Are you a bad steward? I'm asking you. Now, don't raise your hand and don't speak out loud. Because I don't know whether you're a good steward or not. I don't know whether you're good or you're bad. But I can get glimpses of your faithfulness that will tell me something about your stewardship. Are you a good steward? If you stand before God today and say, Lord, am I a good steward or a bad one? What would the answer be? You already know whether you're a good steward or a bad one. You already know, can you be trusted? Are you dependable? Are you reliable? Are you faithful? Are you loyal? Are you steady? Are you consistent? Are you constant? Amen? Faithfulness. Now, let me give you some scriptures on it. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. Says that we ought to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God by ministering and serving others. So whatever grace is in my life, whatever anointing that's upon my life, whatever talent or ability that God has given me, then I should be using that to better somebody else.
Right.
And I should be using that to build the kingdom and to bring glory to God. My whole objective in life ought to be to please God.
Amen.
Am I pleasing God with how I'm doing things? If I'm not, then I need to make course adjustments. How many of you know you're going to always have to make course adjustments?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is going to always be adjusting you.
Amen.
But you can't be stubborn and say, I ain't changing. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to do things a different way. When God reveals something new to you, it may look like Mount Everest. But if he say, I want you to go through Mount Everest, then you say, okay, that's where we're going. I know this is a hard way. This is something I ain't never done before. But if he say, do it this way, then you just say, okay, yes, sir. If you say, do it this way, then it must be a way for it to get done, whether I can see it, understand it, or explain it. Look at the Bible. Almost everybody that did something great for the Lord, for the kingdom, had impossible situations. Here's Moses, one man. Go bring my people out of Egypt. One man. Go get them. What if you was Moses and God say, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go? You'd be like, Pharaoh ain't gonna listen to me. I ain't been there in 40 years. I'm the most unlikely candidate. Lord, I can't even talk. I'm stuttering. God said, all right, get your brother. Get Aaron. That was impossible. To go tell a king who's had people in bondage and slave for 400 years, do you think he going to let them just walk out? And this is what he's been raised in all his life? You think he's just going to say, okay, the Lord said, let them go, let them go? You think that was an easy task? Let me tell you, it wasn't nothing easy about it. Sometimes God will give you an assignment that you like, I don't know how this is going to happen. How are we going to do this? But if he told you to do it, he'll make a way and he'll supply everything you need to do it. That's where your trust come in. That's where being faithful to him and not turning to the arm of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So a steward is someone who has been entrusted with the management of the affairs of another. Steward don't own anything. He just take care of somebody else's stuff. It means he's been entrusted to do something. And the Bible says that God requires that a steward be found faithful. The word found faithful means that he has to be tested and proved. You had to be tested. Faithfulness has to be tested and proved. Let me give you some faithfulness facts here. Faithfulness facts and principles. Faithfulness is an attribute of God and a fruit of the Spirit. You see, Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith or faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. So God put that seed of faithfulness in you that would cause you to want to please God and want to obey Him. It's in you. And you had to cultivate it. And you have to grow in your level of faithfulness. You shouldn't be getting less and less faithful as time goes on. You should be becoming more and more faithful. And then the Bible says that a faithful man will do what? Abound with what? Blessings. So if you're not abounding in the blessing of the Lord, then I would check out my faithfulness. See, if you don't appreciate what God's doing, you'll look at your life and say, I ain't got no blessing. And you got a whole bunch of them. You got a lot of blessing in your life, but you have never taken inventory of them, so you think that you ain't blessed. I mean, I got overflow blessings in my life because I have an appreciation for what God has done and is doing in my life. I'm overflowing in blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, how many of y'all overflowing in blessing? Amen. Faithfulness is proved over time. It's for a lifetime, not for a season. See, faithfulness is not proved in the short haul. Some people want to employ seasonal faithfulness. But to really be a faithful person, you have to be in it for the rest of your life. Faithfulness is for a lifetime. It's not for a season. Because if you have seasonal faithfulness, you're going to have seasonal blessings. Seasonal faithfulness will not get the job done. Faithfulness is tested in three areas of your life: the little things, money, and what belongs to other people. You're going to always have tests in these areas right here. Little things. Little things that seem unimportant, insignificant, that don't amount to anything. God will test your faithfulness with how you handle the little things that nobody notices. And you say, well, you know, if I had a bigger responsibility, I'd do better. No, you wouldn't. Jesus said. Everybody say, Jesus said.
Jesus said.
See, he the man. He know. Right? I trust him more than I trust you. When he says something, I believe him more than I believe you. He said, he that is unfaithful in little is unfaithful in much. That means that if you'll steal a little bit, you'll steal a lot. Well, you know, I wouldn't take a lot. I'd take a little bit. No, you wouldn't, because these are principles involved here. Little things. You're going to be tested in little things. Then you're going to be tested with how you handle your money, because your money has got a voice. I mean, you know, mammon, the spirit of this world. Jesus said you can't have two masters, because mammon, the spirit of this age, finances, wants to control your life. And it wants to have more influence in your life than God does. So you can always have money tests. Can you give when God tell you to give? Can you trust God to give when he tell you to give? Will you give what he told you to give? Not just money, but even in your talent, in your time. Will you do what he's asking you to do? You're going to always have money tests. I walked on my job one day, and I know it was the Holy Ghost prepared me for this because he wanted me to be a blessing to this lady. I turned into the meal, and my eyes went all the way to the gate, and I noticed that there was a woman truck driver. I said, look at that, a woman truck driver. I said, never noticed this before. It's like I had eagle-eyed vision. So I didn't think nothing about it. I went and parked. And then I'm walking down the sidewalk before I got to the entrance of the gate. And I look down there, and it's neatly folded, 8 $100 bills. And I was walking, and I could see it in the distance. I say, look at that money right there. Mm. So I was walking along. I say, swoop, just scoop that money up. Start counting it, 800 went up, 800. And you know, at that time in my life, I could have used 800. And beside that, I was sowing hundreds. See? You hear what I said? I said I was sowing hundreds. I was sowing by the hundreds, so I'm believing I'm going to reap by the hundreds. If I sow by the hundred, I'm going to reap by the hundreds. So look here. Eight $100 bills. Look here. And the devil say, look at your harvest. Boy, you've been sowing by the hundreds. You reap by the hundreds. And I say, devil, this ain't mine. I say, I know just who this money belonged to. Because God showed me already when I turned into the gate. And I stopped at the gate, and the old Fred, he's the officer there. I say, Fred, there's a lady truck driver just went through. He said, yep, she's going back there to pick up a load. I said, I found some money on the sidewalk. I said, when she come back to sign out, ask her if she got all her money. So I waited by the phone. Fred say, and I didn't tell Fred how much money that it was either. And he say, yep, the lady's back here. She say she lost $800, eight $100 bills. I say, I'll be right there. So that lady met me at the gate. She was in tears. She say, I want to thank you so much. Say, my husband, this was a Monday morning. Say, my husband gave me this money for this week. This was my road money. And I just lost it all. She tried to give me something, and I wouldn't take it. And I said, ma'am, I just want to tell you I'm a child of God. I represent Jesus Christ. I said, you better thank God that a child of God picked your money up. All them heathens been through this gate with that $800. On the ground, she'd have never seen that money. Let me tell you, we'd have had a fish fry out there. You hear me? We've been frying fish, barbecuing chicken. They'd have had a beer bust. Hey, that $800 wasn't coming back. I said, I want you to know God loves you. He's concerned about you. And he had me, his servant, pick this money up for you. I want you to know how much God loves you. And she, oh, thank you, thank you. Bless you, hug. I knew right then that was a money test. But all money tests don't come when you find money. Sometimes money tests come when God tell you to bless somebody or to give towards something. And you say, I can't do that. Then if you listen, some people say, oh, boy, when the Lord bless me big. But I have guys come by here all the time. On the street, they will come walk in and say, boy, when the Lord bless me, I got a check coming. I got big money coming, Pastor. I'm bring my tithe. I say, you tithing now? No. They will run from the church when that money come in. If you can't tithe off $100, you can forget about tithing off $1,000. Come on. Because your natural reason just won't let you go there. See, if you're not faithful, if you can't tithe off of $10, that's a dollar. If you can't tithe off of $10, then don't think you're going to tithe off $1 million. It ain't going to happen. Well, if I had a big blessing, I would. No, you wouldn't. Because the devil would be on you like white on rice with what to do with that $1 million. And you'd have more needs come up like a cone stalk. You'd be like in the middle of a cone field. You'd have so many stalks come up there crying out for need. You need to spend me here. You need this. You need that. You need, and before you know it, you won't have nothing left. See, faithfulness, if you're faithful in a little thing, see what happened. Let me tell you what happened in churches. People will be faithful for a season. And then if things don't go their way, then they just shut it off. And then I'm looking, say, Pastor, don't use nobody in the church. Well, it ain't that I don't want to use anybody. It's just that I'm looking for the same thing God looking for. Faithful. Amen. The Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Wow. Means it's very painful. Yeah. And then Paul said this. He said, what I have committed to you, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul would not entrust something valuable like things in the kingdom. See, people think that, well, you just, all I do is pick up paper in the sanctuary. Some people, all right, if that's your job, then you be faithful at it, because if you can't be faithful to do that, then you can't be trusted with a higher level. So many times, people are given little menial tasks that don't matter whether they get it done or not. I say, straighten that up back there. Do that right there. Keep that area neat right there. Always put this back. I told somebody about how they threw this on the ground one time. Came up here. I said, no, don't do that. I said, when you take that off, fold it up neat. You know, neat as you can. Place that thing somewhere. And you know what? I could tell by the look that I got that it wasn't appreciated. Paying attention to the little old thing like that. Gonna get on me over that. See, that's a little bitty thing. I've had people volunteer for all kind of stuff, and they're seasonal. They'll do it a couple of times. If they don't get a pat on the back, if they don't get recognized, if nobody notice it, they say, well, that ain't important. I ain't doing it. Don't nobody care anyway. See, little things like that are tests of whether or not you can be faithful. God will give you a little bitty assignment. See how you do it. And we're waiting for the big thing. And he said, see if you can handle this. And if you can't handle the little thing, you ain't never going to get nothing big, because God does not entrust the true riches to unfaithful people. Amen. See, when he talked about things that he had prepared for them that love him, that's the faithful. The faithful people are the ones that love God. The people that can be depended on, that are trustworthy. So I can't lower the standard of servanthood and say, well, I ain't gonna be able to find nobody faithful. Well, you know what? If I don't find nobody faithful, I just have to do it myself. I'll be faithful with it. And faithfulness is something that you're always adjusting. You gotta always be paying attention. Faithful in how you handle yourself, how you manage your affairs. Then the third area is faithful in how you manage other people's stuff. Now, how many of y'all go to work for somebody else? Yes. Do you know what? Your job is a test of your faithfulness. When I was at IP, they would give me budgets of money and stuff like that to do projects, and I made it a point to treat their money like it was mine. If I wouldn't spend my money on it, I ain't gonna spend theirs. Right? Being faithful, right? Now, I'll give you another one. Now, I'll don't think I'm picking on nobody, because I ain't got nobody in mind, okay? But sometimes when you're invited out to eat, when the other person paying, get the most expensive thing on the menu. If you was paying, you'd be over there under 10, that under 10 category. right? If you was buying your own meal, you'd be in the under 10. 10 and under. You got a limit. But if somebody else paying, where that shrimp Creole and crab legs, filet mignon, well, you know, it's a blessing. They point out a blessing. Yeah, but what about your heart? What about your heart? I ain't saying that you can't have all that stuff, but what about your heart? I remember hearing Lester Sumrall say something about that. He said, when somebody invites me out to eat, he said, I see what they're getting first. I let them order first so I can see about where they're spending money. He said, I will never buy anything more than what they buy. But some people got greedy eyes, and they're not faithful. I ain't even got into this. I'm still in the introduction here. My Lord. I thought I was going to just breeze through this in 20 minutes. But y'all are working me. Listen, why is this message important? I'm going to close. We're not really going to even get to the meat of what I want to talk to you about today. But unfaithfulness is a blessing blocker. When you believe in God for great things, and if you're not, and if the devil can move you into a place where you're not faithful, then the blessing that God wants to bring into your life will be cut off. Not by God, but by your own actions. See, God requires faithfulness. And when he finds a faithful person, he lavishes them with blessings. So it seems to me that we ought to be like, man, so how can I be more faithful to God? How can I be more faithful to God? Because I know God loves me. I know he's playing good, and I want to please him, and I want to do his will. And I want to hear. How many of y'all know them seven words you want to hear? Well done, what? What kind of servant? Good and what?
Faithful
servant. Faithful servant. Faithful servant. Good and what?
Faithful.
Everybody not going to hear well done. Because they haven't been good stewards and they haven't been faithful to God. It means that they are disloyal. And let me tell you another thing. Unfaithfulness is an indication that you have a divided heart, that you have two masters, and you're trying to serve both of them. You got a divided heart. Your heart's divided, split, which means you have disloyalty there. Because Jesus said, you're going to love one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you can't serve two masters. And yet people try to do it every day. Your heart can't be divided. Because if it is, sometime you're going to lean toward God, sometime you're going to lean toward the flesh. And you got two minds, you got two visions, you got two masters. And you're trying to accommodate both of them. You're trying to have the best of both worlds. Trying to have the best that's in the kingdom and the best that's in the world. And let me tell you, and they don't mix. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You have to be single when you come to faith. God have to have your whole heart. He don't want a piece of your heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God.